Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about to be different, you need to think different. And that is an exciting topic. So our guest today is Alan Schoenberg. He is the Chief Communications Officer at Vinson & Elkins, and he is based in New York. Alan joined the firm in 2021 after managing global communications at NASDAQ for 5 years. Alan's professional career runs deep in the capital markets industry, and he's joining us today from his office in New York City, Manhattan. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thanks, Guy. It's great to be here, and I'm really looking forward to talking with you.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you as well. So before we dive into the topic, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, how did you make the change from capital markets to law? What made you decide to do that?
That's a great question. I'll back up a little bit. I've got about 20 years of capital markets experience. I worked at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for 11 years. I worked at Bloomberg, at NASDAQ. So most of my communication marketing experience is in the capital markets and across a really broad swath of industries and sectors, everything from commodities, like wheat, corn, soybeans, to the listed markets and IPOs, to market data. So I have really broad spectrum of experience. When I got a call from a recruiter, and I think, you know, most of your listeners probably have had that call one day where a recruiter has reached out to them with a really great opportunity. And of course you think, yes, they're all great opportunities. You know, I took a listen. I, you know, heard the pitch. It was definitely piqued my interest because it hit a lot of the boxes that my past experience in the capital markets focused on when I was talking to Vinson & Elkins. Of course, the people I met, amazing. I had a really great interview experience. It certainly wasn't easy. I met with about a dozen or so people multiple times, case study interviews, and it seemed like a really great fit and a great opportunity, and it was. And I know they took a risk on me not having any legal firm experience. I've never worked at a law firm before. I've worked with law firms in my roles managing communications. And I know it was a risk for me, you know, and having not had law firm experience. You know, we both, Vinson & Elkins and myself, took a giant leap forward, and here we are today.
I love it. I love it. So what do you think the biggest difference between the capital markets industry and the legal industry is? What is the biggest difference between the two industries?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I'll back up a little bit, not to try to overgeneralize, but, you know, I can remember back in the early, I guess, late aughts, early teens, 2010, 2011, a little bit before that, you know, financial services was really very much a B2B experience. Social media came along and really changed that dynamic a lot. And it didn't do it overnight. It took several years. But I would say financial services, very risk averse, very compliance heavy, talking with clients in very traditional marketing and communication means, email newsletters, websites, media relations. And that was kind of it. I see a lot of similarities back what was happening then in that transition to what has been happening in the legal industry in the last couple of years. You know, law firms traditionally very risk averse, always in the background, helping clients. And as more firms and more marketers, your listeners, have helped them take a step forward in embracing newer digital technologies, that has certainly changed the game for law firms, how they speak to not just their clients, but speak to the public, speak to reporters. We all know Twitter is really a landing base for a lot of journalists. We know that potential staff, potential attorneys are on LinkedIn watching what firms are doing. So there has been this, really, I would say, landscape change for the legal industry. So that's one way how I see an interesting similar dynamic. I think my experience with the capital markets compared to a law firm, I was the client. So, you know, talking more as a public company, that's very different than a private company at a law firm. I think there is obviously the dynamic between lawyers, business professionals. That is an interesting dynamic that, you know, law firms culture-wise are very different. That also, too, is evolving, I think, is an interesting aspect of what we do with internal communications. Just more broadly speaking, I think embracing the pro bono community involvement, like that is a really big dynamic of law firms as well, and giving back that I think, you know, at a publicly traded company, there's different ways of doing it at a publicly traded company. I think law firms stand out a little bit differently because of the pro bono work they provide.
That's really interesting. And I have seen that trend myself. We've been tracking the use of social media at AMLO 200 firms now for the last 7 years, and it's night and day in terms of how law firms are using it and the resources dedicated to it.
I've been, you know, I follow all of the things that your firm puts out as well and what law firms are doing. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sure you've seen a huge dynamic in the data that comes in, analyzing the metrics, you know, changing messaging, you know, all of that is, you know, something that law firms traditionally have never had because of digital. Now they do. And taking all of that data, you know, you could either sink in it or you can swim in it. It depends on what you're looking at. And there's no easy answers, as you know, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what has been the biggest surprise for you? What was something that you did not expect when you switched over from financial services to legal?
I think the biggest thing for me is a great question. You know, I didn't have too many surprises. Like I said, I had worked with a lot of law firms as the client before. I'd worked in a professional services firm before I worked at Accenture. I kind of understood that dynamic. I think the surprise to me, which through the interview process, you know, Vincent Elkins is very transparent, is just the vast array of practice groups and services that the firm offered. And trying to come in fresh without that law firm experience, getting my arms around that, it was much bigger than what I thought it was going to be in a very positive way. My view coming into Vincent and Elkins was, here are several practices where, you know, I'm going to learn more, get my education, my legs up and running. And in the reality, it was much more, a much bigger landscape. What really helped me get my arms around that was the integrated work and just the internal culture of Vincent and Elkins, whether it was through business development, the practice groups themselves, and just working together. So while my perception coming in was that there wasn't as many practice groups, the reality was that way almost on purpose because they worked so closely together, helping each other out, referring business, that teamwork part of it made that transition a lot easier for me.
Interesting. And what would you say have been some of your biggest challenges since you joined Vincent and Elkins?
You know, I think there's a really interesting component to the way that, I don't want to overgeneralize this, but the view of attorneys in the media landscape of, you know, attorneys are really good at law. And there's no doubt about that, right? We all work with some of the smartest people around. But I think the challenge was really getting focused on, you know, lawyers are really smart business professionals. They have a ton of thought leadership, not just in the law. They understand their practice groups and the industries they serve extremely deep. So the external component of that one challenge was, you know, how do we get the media on the outside to understand, you know, the dynamics of what the lawyers are doing, and that, yes, you can come to us about regulations and some of the litigation work out there. But as industries transition, such as energy, infrastructure, digital communications, these are all enormously important industries that drive our economies. So, you know, my goal coming in for the short term and long term is, you know, positioning our attorneys as really smart industry professionals. Yes, they're lawyers, But if you want someone to explain to you the dynamics of what's happening in the telecom industry or the real estate sector and factors driving that, you know, we can do that as well, just as good as anybody out there, any other consulting firm. So that to me was a big mind shift change internally as well as externally. Maybe not so much internally, because I think, you know, lawyers, they understand that they know these things. But externally was, you know, well, why would I want to talk to a lawyer about this? And it was, well, because they understand A, B, C, and X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you can ask them questions about the law, but they're going to tell you about other things that, you know, really impact the industry. So that was a challenge. And then I think I mentioned it earlier was, you know, there is the cultural dynamics. And for me personally was, you know, I come from a lot of public companies and I've worked in that sector. So coming into a private company set up as a partnership and understanding the different internal mechanisms and the way that groups communicated internally and how we communicated internally and technologies and capabilities we had. And of course, I was doing this coming on board during a pandemic where everybody was still remote and then, you know, transitioning into more face-to-face. So the internal pieces and getting that right, not doing things too quickly, but making sure I understood what was happening internally, culture-wise, practice-wise, firm-wise, where the leadership is going and so on and so forth. That was extremely important to me. You know, getting the external pieces right was important, but understanding what was happening internally was 10 times more important.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
And yeah, it must have been really challenging for you to get that internal piece down if everyone was operating from home, right? And you didn't have the face-to-face opportunities or even the collaboration opportunities in person to really get a sense for, you know, who people are, what they really care about, and what they're all about.
Definitely. Onboarding during a pandemic and not knowing anybody. Yeah. And then that meeting anybody or meeting anybody except via Zoom was certainly a challenge. But I would say, you know, I always try to be an optimist, right? The positive spin on that was I could get with anybody anytime, anywhere around the world. I just had to send them a link and I was in a meeting. So it definitely made it more onerous on me to take that charge and take that lead and make that happen.
So the first piece you were talking about is interesting to me too, because I thought the direction you were going to go in, because I've heard other marketing and communications professionals at law firms talk to me about this, is, you know, getting the lawyers to understand that not everything they do is newsworthy, right? Like, I know a lot of people's like, well, you know, why am I not being quoted in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal? We just won a case, or we did this or that. And you know, what I've heard other communications professionals say is, you know, they need to understand that not everything they do is necessarily something that the media is going to pick up. But what I'm hearing you say, I think, is that's a challenge. But the bigger challenge is getting the media to understand that lawyers can, in fact, present much more than a legal interpretation of a situation and can talk very deeply about industry trends and things that are happening, you know, at a particular time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. I think there is, you know, certain elements to, and, you know, I'll give a non-example example, right? Let's just say there's a reporter writing a story about building a new port out on the coast. You know, they'd want to talk to a construction company. They'd want to talk to a logistics company. They'd want to talk to a shipping company. The challenge for me is, how do I get them to talk to a lawyer? Yes, there are regulations about building in there, but there, I think the advantage that lawyers have is they can come in with that entire view and lay it out in terms of the dynamics happening, the timeline that might be happening, what's realistic, what's unrealistic. They become almost a very trusted, neutral source in the process of the story. I don't want to generalize that all reporters think like that. That's certainly not the case. I think part of the challenge is just getting them to understand, because there are so many law firms out there, why they need to talk to Vincent and Elkins. So that was also part of the challenge. So there were, I would say, multiple steps in that. So part of that, you know, we could go on and on about content and content management and why having your own internal content is important, because that certainly helps set the table for journalists, clients, bloggers, podcasters, and whatnot. So there is definitely a process to it. And while the lawyers do get interviewed on laws and regulations, that's kind of an obvious thing. There is the, what I've been working on and positioning on is that, you know, for this project story you're working on about this port, for instance, you should be able to ask us anything, because we can come in and provide direction to it. So that's one example.
Interesting. So how have your past experiences either helped you or hurt you? What would you say, having been, you know, in the financial services industry and professional services before, how has that helped you and at the same time hurt you?
I think coming in from the financial services industry with the risk management hat on and the compliance hat, you know, kind of all ready to go, certainly was a benefit. You know, it wasn't coming in and, you know, just changing things rapidly or doing things differently just because they worked in financial services or because I wanted to do them differently. So, you know, just having, you know, years and years and years of experience of that risk management element certainly helped. I think the, you know, where I would have to build up on would be the industries I wasn't as familiar with, or the parts of big law that weren't necessarily coming naturally to me because I wasn't in this space. That was where, you know, I needed to rely on and trust on my team to help me, you know, bring me up to speed and work me through that process. So there were certainly elements, you know, kind of a yin yang to it, right? Of like, let's try this, let's move forward with this. And then on the flip side of like, I don't really understand this. I need help. So can you work with me to give me a better understanding of how this works and the processes involved? I would say the biggest challenges was trying to understand what I didn't know and didn't understand. It was a good learning experience and a way to just step back and really take in what was happening around the firm.
Last question I have for you, and you kind of touched upon this already, but how does the legal industry compare to other industries when it comes to social media and overall communications?
You know, again, I can harken back to my days in financial services. And I do think, going back to my earlier comments, you know, I still think the legal industry is in pretty early stages of social media.
I would agree. Yep.
Yeah, right. I think that there's still a learning curve here. And that learning curve isn't so much that marketers don't know what to do. I think it's, there's, you know, understanding the compliance issues, understanding how to use social to make it really work for the firm. Like, this takes time. As you know, probably better than anybody, right? There's this myth of like, well, let's just put it on social media and it'll work, right? Or we'll just use social media and put it out there. It almost becomes like this is the easy toolkit and, you know, it'll magically work and we're all done. And the thing that I think I've learned over doing this for so long is that, you know, that definitely is not how it works. For one, it takes time, it takes practice, It takes testing. It takes risk, understanding how your audience changes. You know, firms are changing, constantly evolving, and probably not as fast as some of the technologies are evolving. But, you know, there is this social media is just constantly changing algorithms, the way you put content out there, video, audio. You know, there's a lot to keep up with. I think what is different is, and I don't even like the word different. I just think that law firms are sort of at the cusp of really making social media work for them. You know, we already see it in LinkedIn. Like, law firms do LinkedIn extremely well. TikTok is another animal, right? Twitter is incredibly yes. different than anything else out there. You know, you have Facebook still as a platform. There's so much out there. And again, I think most law firm marketers understand, like, you can't do it all. You know, pick your niche, understand where your clients are, where you want to go, what works. You have individual lawyers who are really good at social media, working with them versus promoting the firm. There's just a multitude of challenges that come with social media. And I'm not trying to downplay that firms aren't using it or doing it. I just think that, you know, everybody in every industry struggles with social media and how to best leverage it on an ongoing basis. You might know how to use it very well today on the platform and the way it's working for you, but as a social media person, you are constantly worried about something changing, or, you know, how do you make it better, or how do you improve it, or there's a new platform that comes along. Like, it is a constantly moving animal, and that adds a whole nother dynamic to it.
I completely agree. All right. Well, Alan, unfortunately, we are almost out of time. But before I let you go, could you provide one word of advice or perhaps an actionable takeaway to our audience that they can use in their own firms?
Yeah, great, great question. I would say, and I like to think differently just in terms of what are other industries doing? You know, how can you learn from the real estate industry? How can you learn from the professional services industry? Like, what are consulting firms doing? They're like-minded firms that sell services and really smart people. How can you emulate the things that they're doing and bring it back into a law firm environment? So there's always this, take a step outside your industry, get outside your comfort zone, read publications that aren't in the legal industry, and gather some learnings from that and take away and find a best practice that works for you.
I love it. That is such great advice. Really, really good. All right. Well, Alan, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And to our audience, thank you for listening today. If you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, just go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. There you can subscribe, and you can also check out some of our past amazing episodes. Alan, thank you again for your time. It's been phenomenal. I really enjoyed learning from you and exploring what it really means to be different and think differently. It's really great to have you, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show sometime in the future.
Thanks so much, Guy. I'd love it. Thanks.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.